Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the LG Equipment Limited Q3 FY16 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Markets Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Markets Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Margaret. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets, we welcome you all to the 3Q FY16's earnings conference call of LG Equipment Limited. We have with us Mr. Jairam Varadarajan and his team today representing the company. I request Mr. Jairam to take us through an overview of the company's quarterly results, and then we shall begin the Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kamlesh. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for having to start this 15 minutes late. As usual, I will run you through our numbers. I will look at the consolidated numbers for the quarter, compare it with the previous year's quarter, same quarter Q3. Take you through that and then give you a general overview of the business situation not only in India and the rest of the world, and then we could engage with some questions. Now, I'm not going to talk about the sales numbers. I'm going to focus on the EBITDA. The current quarter's EBITDA has been $325 million. And previous year's EBITDA was $146 million. Now, if we had maintained the same levels of profitability as the previous year's Q3, with the increase in sales of close to about $600 million, and an improvement contribution in material cost primarily, the EBITDA actually has been higher by 325. It would have been lower at 315. So we have actually had an improvement in EBITDA to the extent of 10 million. Now, the primary contributors have been, for this increase in 10 million, has been a combination of both increase in costs as well as improvement in, benefits from certain areas. At a consolidated level, the manpower cost has gone down by 3 million. This is primarily because of our reorganization in China. Variable cost has gone down by 6 million, primarily on account of material. Fixed cost has gone down by 16 million, primarily in standalone LG and in the US. And the LG standalone is primarily some one-time consulting charges that we have incurred. We've had a positive foreign exchange fluctuation to the extent of about 30 million. So that gives us a benefit of 10 million for the quarter. And this foreign exchange fluctuation is primarily a mark-to-market, so it's just a notional thing. We haven't yet realized it in the form of cash. So that's on the financials. I will wait for your specific questions to get those clarified. Generally, as a business, we have done well in the US. We have done well sales-wise in Brazil as well, but we have had issues with a huge depreciation of the reais. I will come back and talk about what we are doing at a broad level. Europe continues to be challenging for us. And Middle East and Africa have been extremely sluggish owing to the significant drop in fuel prices in the Middle East, obviously, and in some of the oil-producing nations like Nigeria and Africa. India has been positive in segments. I wouldn't say there's a general buoyancy across the board. Incremental investments in capacities have started. So some of our smaller machines, there's been a growth. I wouldn't I'm not extremely excited about the percentage of growth, but compared to the previous years when things were flat or even going down, this growth is a welcome change. We've had an improvement in the water well segment compared to the previous year. So that segment has brought in reasonably good volumes to our top line. Moving further east, Southeast Asian markets and have been challenging. They've been kind of flat compared to last year. China, like I've explained to you, we're going through a major reorganization, so I'm not even recognizing, taking cognizance of their sales. Australia sales has improved, and we have done significant things to cut down our losses there. We've cut down costs, so things are in a better situation there. So overall, if I look at the profitability, it's driven by two things. One, significantly better profitability in India, driven by, and that's the primary reasons are, one, the top line growth has been there to the extent of about 7-8%. We have had improvements in our contribution to the extent of 1.5-2%. We have done a very good job of reining in certain costs, which have also contributed to the growth. So, and it's, I would say it's more than a margin contribution, it's been a volume contribution in India. Combined with that, the losses in the US have substantially come down. Unfortunately, that got compensated by a maintaining of losses in Brazil. So what we have done in Brazil is, operationally, we've been making a profit, but the loss has come from our the depreciation of the reais. And that loss has been primarily because of monies owed that has got restated because of the depreciation. So we have converted almost 60% of the money owed to either banks or back to the head office into a reais denominated debt. In the next probably 2 to 3 months, we will convert the remaining 30-40% also to reais. So the foreign exchange-based losses in the future from Brazil would be pretty much eliminated. France continues to remain a challenge for us. Even though the losses are under control, the business growth has been a problem primarily because of leadership challenges, competencies. So we're going through some analysis. We have identified a few directions in which we need to work on. It's a little premature for me to talk about them, but I'm hoping by during the next quarter's conference call, I'll be able to give you some very concrete, permanent solutions as far as France is concerned. In Italy, our profitability has improved, but the overall profits have dropped primarily because of, Africa. There was a reliance on Africa for a certain segment sales, and that, because of oil prices, have significantly dropped. When I say significantly, it's become zero, that segment sales. So that, in spite of it, we have grown the sales of other products and other regions, and therefore the profitability of the business has gone up. And we are working now on building certain other markets. So I'm confident that the fundamentals are strong. We will come back up. Middle East is a challenge. We are working on a few plans to improve. It continues to remain positive. It's not losing money. But the sales have dropped compared to last year. But with new product, we've introduced some new products both on the portable side and on the industrial side. We are hoping that those would give us some traction in going forward. Southeast Asia is, again, like I said, it's been flat. There is nothing specific that we are doing there. We believe that Indonesia, again, is an oil-producing nation, has been a challenge, but it's coming back up. and I think the rest of the countries would also come back, so I'm reasonably confident. Australia, we've cut down on our costs. The losses have been significantly reduced. Sales is moving up a little bit, but we need to wait and see. It's not something that we are focused on right now. So overall, I think the negative results that the subsidiaries have brought in have been reined in, and I think going forward they should be contributing positively. India business, I'm hoping that continues to grow, the positive sentiments. The large projects obviously are all on hold or extremely sluggish. I'm hoping that in the future that those would get opened up, and with infrastructural investment that is being planned by the government, if those trickle into the economy, I think we should see some capital and capacity build up in the future, and that should be good for us. So that's a summary of our Q3, and now I will open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Madan Gopal from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Madan. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Head above the water, Madan.
A good set of numbers, sir, but congrats on that. You touched upon it in a brief way. I wanted to understand how much of the company we are exposed to. One is Middle East and North Africa, as well as even other emerging commodity-related markets like Brazil, Russia. If you can highlight, that will be helpful.
I don't want to give you specific sales, but I think that would be giving away too much into the hands of the competition also.
Okay.
I would tell you that the dependence on the company on oil-producing nations is not very high.
Okay.
And neither is it very high on commodity-producing nations. So the oil-producing, commodity-producing nations would be Australia, Indonesia, whole of the Middle East, select countries in Africa, and the Brazil. Our total dependence is, I would say, on all these countries put together is less than 20%.
Okay. That's good. Do you think are things so slowing down that any impact on this front will change our kind of expectations that the international subsidiaries would sort of turn around and we were expecting them to make margins? Any delay in that front would happen, in your opinion?
I think the plan that we had, the significant growth plans that we have made, as was in the U.S. market, that has not changed. We had made significant plans in Southeast Asia, and that the problem is not so much the market, the demand, but it's basically our engagement and the inertia that the market has for an unknown brand and a made in India label. So it's purely it's not anything that is macro, it is more micro in nature in terms of our challenge. Middle East, of course, is a challenge, but we need to understand one thing. I mean, there are a lot of these countries there are trying to shift their economy from oil dependence to industrial. So if you look at Saudi Arabia, there's a big emphasis in that country to change the dependence of the economy from oil to creating industrial segment. So those opportunities are emerging now. So those are positive, even though the oil is a negative thing.
Okay. Great, sir. Thanks for taking my question and wish you best of luck.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, can you just give an overall flavor of the compressor market in India, how it has been in the third quarter? And can you just delve on the subsegments over there, water well, construction, mining, railways, industrials, etc., how they are panning out?
Well, Q3 is very difficult for me to give you an overall landscape of the compressor business. It's too short a time frame for me to sketch. But overall, our estimate of the compressor market is about $600-700 million. And we have about 5 or 6 players, organized players, chasing that market. And, of course, in the smaller machines, there are a huge number of unorganized players that are very fragmented at the bottom. I don't want to get into, again, you know, we have so much information about this market that we don't want to just give it away in a call like this, because competitors are listening in on these calls as well. So out of the 600, 700 million, I would say bulk of it is industrial. Water well comes and goes, so in any given, so I'm not even taking the peak sales of water well in the 600, 700 million. So that would be a delta that comes in and out of this number. So bulk of it is industrial. This is a gross size. There are 5, 6 guys chasing it. So that's about the broad landscape that I'm comfortable sharing with.
Okay, this water well business, is it cyclical in nature, or have you seen any pattern in, linked to monsoon?
It's not a monsoon link pattern. It is capacity build up. I mean, you know, these machines last about 3 to 4 years, by and large. So you see, you know, in industry, capacity build up by a particular segment doesn't happen at one particular time. It happens in a kind of a distributed manner, but peculiarly in this segment, capacity buildup happens kind of in lumps. So people buy in lumps, and these machines get used over a period of time, and then they come up for replacement in lumps. So that's the season. There's really no season in terms of monsoons or anything like that.
Okay. And mining and construction, they are not big drivers, or they were used to be, and they are not like that now.
They're still a significant. I mean, it's an important segment for us, but it's right now because it's not just mining. It is construction, mining. In construction, you have road building, you have all kinds of stuff. So you know, right now the whole infrastructure and commodity business, you know, coal mining. You know, Steve, if power plants don't run, there's no coal mines, right? And if infrastructure investment in roads and all that are not happening to the extent that, well, they are beginning to happen, but it's nowhere near what it's supposed to be, then, you know, equipment investment doesn't happen. Besides, in all these, in this particular segment, investments have happened in the past that are idle. So first, those idle capacities have to get used up.
Correct.
So it'll come.
Okay. Sir, and what would be your growth in domestic and exports breakup?
I don't know the growth, but the breakup of our sales right now between India and the rest of the world, including sales, in the rest of the world, I'm including sales made by India to the subsidiary, would be about 55 to 45.
55 to 45.
It used to be 50-50. Now it's kind of tilting in favor of India because India is growing. The rest of the world is kind of stagnant.
Okay. And about after-sales service, how it would be this quarter or this 9 months vis-a-vis earlier? Would we
it's
have
kind of marginally better than last year? I wouldn't say it's anything significant. If you're wondering if after-sales has brought in the profitability, no, it's not. I mean, it's improved a little bit, but nowhere near what we budgeted, because overall aftermarket is a function of the functioning of the factories. If factories are not functioning, then there is no maintenance.
Okay. So currently, how much it would be, sir, of our overall revenue?
Again, I don't want to share this information. You know, I would rather that, you know, these things are best kept unsaid in the larger interest of shareholders.
Okay. Okay. And in the foundry division, we would have largely indigenized the manufacturing. Or is there some more scope, sir, in this? Is there scope for margin expansion is what I want to know further.
Oh, significant scope. I mean, I don't know what you mean by indigenization.
I mean, we used to outsource it to vendors, and that portion is being brought to the foundry.
Local, insourcing has been done. Most of the opportunity for insourcing has been completed.
Okay.
There are certain castings which don't lend themselves to the technology that we have chosen. That's the marginal stuff. That we continue to buy from outside vendors, but it's in our overall tonnage of procurement, that's less than 3-4%.
Okay.
So bulk of it has been brought in. As the industrial stuff, as the market grows, I think the capacity utilization in the foundry will also grow. As you know, this foundry was meant for in-house consumption, not for selling castings to others. So it's closely linked to the growth of our compressor business. So there is evidence of movement in the casting demand, because there's a movement, increase in the movement of compressors. So the losses that we had last year are significantly diminished this year.
Okay, sir. Thanks. I'm done.
Thank you. Anyone who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of HR Bala from Panav Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to know, how is the competitive scenario emerging in the market? Like, what are the our areas of specialization which the other people like Kirloskar and Ingersoll at last will not be having?
I'll try and answer that question to the best of what I've understood.
Sure.
If you ask me, there are in India, there are probably only three or four serious players,
right,
which is Atlas Copco, Ingersoll Rand, LG, and maybe Kaiser. Kaiser entered the country about 10 years ago, and they've done a reasonably good job of growing their business. But in terms of the technology and the product width, starting from a half horsepower piston all the way to a 2000 horsepower centrifugal, there are only three of us. The rest of the companies don't have it, whether it is India or globally.
Okay.
So in that sense, we belong to a club of three companies which have the capability to serve pretty much the entire range of what the customers need.
Okay.
So that's my understanding of your question.
Okay. So say together these three to four companies would be controlling how much of the Indian market?
They would control probably close to 90% of the organized market.
Okay. Can you give us some flavor as to what would be the size of Indian market for compressors?
I just mentioned it. It's between 600 to 700 million US dollars.
Oh, that is the Indian market.
Yeah.
Okay. And another question is, sir, how are the capacity utilization since our production volumes are now started to grow? Do you envisage any major capital expenditure either this year or in the coming few years?
You know, right now, if you look at our capacity that we have, at a rate of about 15 to 18% growth, we don't have to make any investments for the next 3 years.
Okay.
But having said, but that's purely on a capacity point of view.
Okay.
But we have some plans in terms of changing the overall structure of this company, in terms of preparing it for a scenario where India is not cheap anymore.
Okay.
Now, we can keep quiet and say Indians are cheap, therefore Indian operations are cheap, so we have as many as possible that we can hire and run our business on that basis, or anticipate that Indians are going to be expensive in the future and therefore change the complexion of the operation to reflect that future reality. Yeah.
Okay.
So some amount of investment we will do progressively towards that. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not automation, but it is very intelligent kind of configuration of production to be able to use people more for their brain rather than for their brawn.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you just put a broad number as to what could be the range of capital expenditure that we may be having?
We have an internal plan that we won't exceed more than about 30 crores in a given year across all, including IT, including manufacturing, including, HR type of investments. All that put together, I don't see it going beyond 30. If this year we are probably going to be less than about 20.
Okay. So that will include India as well as our overseas operations?
Yes, yes, yes.
But broadly, just last question from my side, what kind of growth trajectory you will have in mind? Because you did narrate some of the improvements which are taking place in different markets. So from the negative to muted growth, do you expect significant growth in the next couple of years?
In most of the markets that I mentioned that are key for us, we kind of hit the bottom. Right,
exactly.
So if you look at the Southeast Asian markets, we are at the bottom. So, Indonesia, for instance, that I gave as an example, is beginning to come back up.
That's right.
Middle East has also hit the bottom. We are beginning to see signs of it coming back up.
Okay.
Africa, I can't make any big statements, but Africa is not a significant contributor to our revenue. You look at, I explained to you about Italy. We got hit in Italy because of Algeria, which is an oil producing nation, which was contributing a significant amount of our sales. But again, we have hit the bottom, we're coming back up.
Right.
So India, because it's climbing, like I explained to you. So all that put together, the future is going to be definitely very positive in terms of top line growth, right? So right now our costs are under control. I don't see any big changes in commodity prices, at least for another year or two.
Okay.
So with prices, costs under control, price we are able to maintain, top line growth, I think we are in a good wicket.
Okay. So do you expect about 10-15% type of normal growth over a period of time?
At a consolidated level, I would say that would be a very minimal kind of a thing.
Okay, so it can be better than that.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be great. Wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Manish Goyal from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good morning, sir.
Hi, Manish. I was wondering whether you have hidden yourself in this office.
No, I'm very much here. Sir, a couple of questions on the first on the US market. You did comment that it has done well, but you also said losses in US has come down. So were you referring to Patents or the US subsidiary? If you can just give a brief on the US.
Patents was never making a loss, Manish.
Right,
the profit had significantly come down because of what happened with Quincy and Atlas Copco. It got dislocated, our operations got dislocated. So there was a significant erosion of the top line and therefore the profits.
Right. Okay.
It never went into loss. Now, LG USA, which is the company that does the business in the non-patents area, which is the patents works in the 5 southern states, and LG USA has distributors in all the other states.
Okay.
Now, that business was incurring a loss because it was in the initial stages.
Okay.
Now, that is not making a loss anymore.
Okay. Okay.
And we expect that that it will continue to that trajectory in the future.
Sure. Okay. And in patents, you were probably building up the sales and marketing team. So
yes.
Have we started seeing the benefits of the same? Are we through with the process of reorganizations over there?
Oh, it has been done and we are beginning to see results. But, you know, there is sometimes when a damage is done to an organization, some of it becomes permanent in nature. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we are trying to, and we were hoping that we will even undo those kinds of permanent damages, but we are beginning to realize that certain things are permanent in nature. So we are working on alternate methods by which we can grow. So to answer your question, organization is by and large in place in most of the key markets. There are some markets in which we still have some talent gaps. We are filling them up. The sales in bulk of the verticals of the patents has come back up. There are certain verticals in which it is still a little sluggish. But overall, I think it will come back. It's just a matter of time. We thought we'll be able to get it back onto its original track earlier, but then I'll be realizing it takes a little longer.
Okay. And sir, coming to India, we have seen a decent growth in the current quarter. So now do we expect that with the low base already there, going forward, say, we will be able to maintain double-digit growth going forward?
At a consolidated level?
No, at India operations, what we saw as a standalone, we saw a 17% growth YOY in the current quarter, and 14% on sequential basis. So, do you expect this double-digit growth to continue going forward?
Quarter on quarter compared to last year, we have grown 17%. But if you take year to date, I think we've grown about 7%.
Right.
7.5, something like that. Now, this quarter we have grown on the back of a strong water well market. Now, water well, the season is on, so we can probably ride it for a few more quarters. Yeah. So keep that aside because that's an opportunistic thing that happens in the market.
Sure.
Besides the water well market, if you look at the other businesses right from the beginning of the year, there are some businesses that have steadily grown.
Mm-hmm.
Not at 15% and 16%, but they've steadily grown. Yeah. I expect that in the next year, the growth of some of these businesses would be better than what it has been this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the expectation. On top of it, you add whatever comes from whatever. Yeah. So if I take both these into account, I think a low double digit is possible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, sir, when you refer to some businesses, are you referring to, say, railways, one, and second, pickup in road construction and other construction activity?
See, I am not... railways is a budget-based thing. You know, we have to wait for how the railway minister plans his budget end of February, and that is a result. So, there's nothing... If you're sitting... We are sitting on a market share which is quite significant in railways, right? So we are quite, and our engagement, our after sales thing, our responsiveness, the quality, the service that we provide is at a very high level. So whatever is the commitment of growth that the government has for this segment, we will get a fair share of it.
Mm-hmm.
Can we on our own increase the sales? It's very difficult. I mean, you know, locomotives produced, there's only so many locomotives produced. We can't induce the government to produce more locomotives. Yeah. So that is one part of it. The other part on the industrial side, you split it into two, the small and medium size businesses, as well as even in the large companies, incremental capacity balancing, you know, capacity balancing kind of investment. We have seen that happening in the whole of this year.
Okay.
That I expect to continue in the next year. Mm-hmm. But large projects, whether it's in steel or power, you know, everybody is kind of cautious. I don't see any activity at all. Yeah. With a lower industrial activity and the huge investments in power that has been done over the last 3-4 years, nobody wants to even talk about a power plant.
Right.
So many of the power plants are running at 30-40% capacity. I don't see with that scenario any huge investments in power. The same with commodity prices being what they are, and I don't see them changing for the next year or two. I don't see any investments, steel plants wanting to look beyond this, because there's an uncertainty of where the global markets are going. So I don't see that either.
Right.
But there could be cement investments in this country. There seem to be some indications of that. So we need to wait and see those kinds of projects. But general capacity balancing kind of investments, I think, is going to increase in next year.
Okay, so, and last question on the debt side. Last call you had mentioned we are targeting to reduce debt by 50 to 60 crores in current year. So
yeah.
Are we on track for that?
Oh, yeah. We are, in fact, ahead of it. We hope to close the net debt, including the cash that is sitting in ATS, we would be at 220 crores.
Okay, I think you had given 230 crore figure for...
Yeah, right. So we should be at 220 comfortably. We started at around 280 or 285.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Thanks a lot and come back in queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please press star and 1 if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jinal Sheth from Multi-Act Equity. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. So I've been tracking your company since some time, especially from the time that you guys have gone international. So based on that, the question that I had is that, so since you guys have expanded into a global base, how has it changed from a people perspective? As previously, it was very top-heavy. And where I'm coming from is because, you know, hearing you in your past calls, we've seen that, you know, things have gotten postponed in terms of expectations of either from a profitable point of view or, you know, consolidation in a particular market. So if I could hear your thoughts on that.
Sure. I think you have a very valid question on that. I mean, our biggest challenge for growth, you know, if you split an organization into two basic segments, the back end, which is really the technology, the quality, the manufacturing systems, and the front end, which is the sales, marketing, and service segments.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last many years, we've invested a lot of time, effort, and resources on the back end. Today, based not only, I would like to claim that we are world class and cutting edge, in fact better than most, and I can justify that claim by sharing with you the response that we've been getting for our products in very challenging markets like Europe and America. The response from distributors and customers has been absolutely positive. So it's a vindication of the kind of directions we have taken on the back end. So I'm very confident about the back end. Now, when we expanded internationally, we were naive to think that once you have a solid back end, meaning we have a great product, high levels of efficiency, cutting edge performance, great quality, deliveries, comparative deliveries, that the customers will flock to us. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was a very naive and a very India-centric view of the world. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because in India we have a brand, we have distribution, customers will pull us. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are beginning to realize that our entire sales, marketing, service, that is the front end, needs to be revamped to the same extent that we have revamped our back end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, since the last almost a year, we've been working on multiple initiatives. One is the branding of the company. Increasingly, you will see that the company's look and feel will be more and more consistent with what is aspirational as a global brand. We are engaging with agencies outside to build very strong go-to-market processes for our products and aftermarket. And the third piece that we are looking at is what we are really engaging again with an external agency to say what should be our organizational structure to fulfill our global aspiration. Starting from now and by March of 2017, which is 1 year, we would have put in place some fundamental stuff, foundational stuff, both on our front-ending capabilities and processes, as well as our organizational capabilities for our global aspirations, which includes, by the way, the key pillar of that is our talent and our segmentation, talent segmentation.
So from what I understand from your answer, you are clearly focusing on that, because I do agree that the product is very strong, but we need to focus on the other side as well. And so can I understand that what you're trying to say in a way that, okay, we would have faced those challenges and we are clearly working on those to...
Absolutely. And if you look at many of the areas where we have been hit by lack of sales in line with our aspirations when we went into those markets, is not because of the product. It is because of both lack of leadership and a lack of process.
Mm-hmm.
So both of these are getting will be addressed now.
Okay. Because one of the reasons why I did ask this question is because when I spoke to a few consultants who deal with your company, they also felt the same. You know,
yeah.
I'm not trying to raise any negative points, just highlighting the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind our participants, you may press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ajal Gala from Panav Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to know, what is our strategy on the automotive side? You know, it is a relatively small segment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what are we doing in that?
Just to give you a background to it, we make equipment to service cars. So if you go to any automotive dealership, you will find all our equipment in their service base.
Okay.
Now, that business rides very strongly on the strength of the automotive industry. And primarily, our focus is on two-wheeler and the commercial vehicles, four-wheeler and the passenger cars and commercial, not so much on the two-wheeler. Excuse me. So we are highly dependent on that. So last year and the year before, there's been a slight uptick in the Indian automotive industry. And we have grown as a consequence of that. Our growth has been about 10%, about 8-9%.
Yeah.
Now, we have about 40-42% market share in that segment. We don't have one big organized competitor. There are a lot of, in the second round, there are some reasonable sized, individual owned companies, and then there are a lot of fragmented players. But in terms of who is the only manufacturer of these equipment, we are the only one. The rest of them import equipment from all over the world, and many of them import stuff from China, which today, as you know, is questionable in terms of whether they're selling on a fair pricing or whether they're dumping.
Yeah.
Now, we have multiple strategies for that business. One is, you know, we can cry till the cows come home about how the Chinese are dumping, but what we need to do is go back to our drawing board and say, can we build a product which will compete against the Chinese? And we have taken certain segments. So if you take this business, it is not just one product like compressors. We are probably straddling about 10 different products.
Okay.
So there are lifts, there is wheel alignment systems, there is AC recovery systems, there is collision repair, there is paint systems, there is lubrication, so washing system. So each one of them internationally is one vertical, whereas because the size of the Indian market is so small, we have taken a one-stop shop solution by offering a customer all these products in from one location.
Okay.
So what we have done is we have picked a few products, verticals, to go back to the drawing board and really use our knowledge and engineering capability to come up with products which can compete with the Chinese under whatever circumstances.
Okay.
So we will begin to see the impact of this work, and this work has not just started a few months ago, it's been on the board for about a couple of years. This, in the coming year, we will be introducing some of these products into the market and we will start seeing the results of that.
Okay, great.
So that's one part. Yeah. The other part is we are taking some of these products, some other products, and saying, can we become a global source of an extremely competitive nature, not just on cost, but cost and technology, and build that globally for that vertical alone, right?
Okay.
The third business that we have experimenting with is a brand called Auto Show, which we have launched in Coimbatore alone as a test case last October. This is like a test laboratory.
Right.
So people can bring a used car.
Right.
Before they buy, they can, for a very nominal fee, they can get their car tested in our facility.
Okay.
We will give them a complete certificate of the car with respect to what is a new car.
Okay.
So this, we are trying to bring in complete transparency in a used car purchase.
Okay. Okay.
Now, this is still early days. We have business traction. We're still waiting to see if it'll pick up. So that's a service kind of a related business, which the equipment used in these facilities are our own.
Okay.
Or we have the capability to do it. And we believe if this succeeds, there's an opportunity for creating 300 such centers in our country.
Okay.
So we are working on multiple strategies to build this business.
Okay. So any significant investment we will be making in setting up our own center?
No, I don't think so. Each center, the biggest cost is going to be the cost of real estate. So we need to engineer solutions which is very thrifty on real estate in places like Delhi and Bombay. So it's not a significant investment. And we are also exploring the possibility of a franchise model here.
Okay, that would be great.
Yeah.
Sir, little while ago you said that in this quarter and 9 months, there have been some one-time expenses for this consultant. So that is, I think, what you said in a previous question.
No. That's a different thing. You will see in the coming year a significant expenditure that we will incur on consultants. Unfortunately, I don't have the liberty to disclose it because we have a confidentiality agreement signed that until such time the project is done, there won't be any disclosure.
Okay.
So these are small consulting assignments that we did in Europe, so they're not significant in nature.
But now what you will be doing will be something significant.
It will be a significant one. That is to build our sales service capability and our organization structure.
Okay. Thank you very much. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the floor over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak for closing comments.
Thanks, Jai, for providing us the opportunity to host the call and for the insightful discussion that we had. So that's very useful. So on behalf of Asian Markets, I think sincerely thank everyone for joining for this call. And with that, we conclude the call. Thank you all. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kamlesh, for hosting us. And thanks to everyone for participating. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Asian Market Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.